I'm Paul Herron, and this is episode 22 of the Ani Eastnine podcast. As some of you may have heard, Ani Eastnine's new erotica collection, Oletress, has been the center of a media firestorm. The reason? Amazon, the world's largest retailer, decided that the book and its cover contained what they call adult content, which prompted them to deem it unsearchable in their normal search feature. What does this mean? It means that this gem, this book which had been lost since 1950, would remain lost. Now, if one knew about the book and wanted it badly enough, there were ways to get around the fact that it seemed invisible. But this task was both arduous and time-consuming. I had some would-be readers tell me that even after digging for a while, they still came up empty. Effectively, Oletress had been banned, 21st century style. This presented me, the publisher, with a huge problem. The publication of Oletress, a long-lost collection of erotica by arguably the world's most renowned female erotica writer, Ani Eastnine, is a major literary event. This book was to stand with Nine's bestsellers Delta of Venus and Little Birds, but it was nowhere to be found. This was a disaster in the making. How could this be? And why? I'm sure you're aware that for many years, censorship boards in the States had the power to label works of art obscene and ban them completely, and if publishers were to go ahead anyway, they faced steep fines in prison. What was banned in the 20th century in the USA? Well, James Joyce's Ulysses, for example, Henry Miller's Tropic books, almost everything that D.H. Lawrence wrote, even Ani Eastnine's Paris edition of The Winter of Artifice was banned, which caused her to completely gut and rewrite the book in a way that it could get published here. The famous obscenity trials in the 1960s finally resulted in the overturn of censorship boards, which meant that readers finally could decide for themselves what to read. But now, more than 50 years later, censorship is a common practice in retail, and it presents a big problem to those who write erotica in particular. While Amazon doesn't always ban books completely, they can make it very hard, if not impossible, for prospective readers to find and purchase them. I knew I had to do something. So I called Amazon's helpline, which took me at least a half an hour to find, because they don't really want to talk to people like me, I suspect. May, the first person I spoke to, did some digging and located a hidden tag in the Oletress file, and that it was Kindle Direct Publishing, or KDP, who had created it. So, I was sent to Cheryl of KDP's help desk to find out how to remove the hidden tag. Cheryl told me that the only way Oletress would be rendered searchable was to cover the two dots representing female nipples on the cover drawing, and to alter the contents of the book itself. I told her that would be tantamount to asking an art dealer to cover up some of Rubens' women to make the work more appealing to the masses. I'm not sure if she got it. She said, and I quote, KDP has a policy that discourages adult content books. They don't want to be associated with things like that. She said if I didn't want to make changes, my only other option would be to unpublish it through KDP and republish it through another platform. I pointed out the obvious hypocrisy of this policy, that Amazon would make visible the exact same book if it was uploaded through another entity such as Smashwords. What kind of disconnect exists between KDP and its parent company? It just doesn't make any sense. When I asked about the print version of Oletress, I was sent to yet another help desk. This time, the print book division. My liaison was a guy named Ishmael. When I made my case for clearing Oletress of its hidden tag, he gave me the same story as Cheryl of KDP, that they disapproved of both the cover and the contents. So, I mentioned the fact that Nine's other erotica, Delta of Venus and Little Birds, were searchable, that not only were they by the same author as Oletress, they also contained the same genre of writing. What Ishmael said really floored me. He said, "Well, if that's the case, we'll have to tag those books too and make them unsearchable. What were their names again?" It was then I realized that none of these people had any idea of who Anie East Dean was, that they were treating her like someone of no account. Okay, at this point, I'm about an hour into this surreal odyssey with Amazon, and I'm beginning to lose my patience. In a very controlled voice, I demanded to speak with someone higher up. Ishmael transferred me to my fifth help desk person, a woman named Danny. Unlike those before her, Danny seemed more receptive and logical, less dogmatic and robotic. She actually seemed to be listening when I educated her on who Neen is and why Oletris is not just any book. While waiting after Danny put me on hold, someone on Facebook was posting that while she couldn't find Oletris on Amazon, she found plenty to choose from while searching for dinosaur porn. When Danny returned, I asked her to search for Oletris on Amazon. She reported that nothing came up. Then I asked her to search for dinosaur porn. She said, "Dinosaur porn?" I said, "Yeah, dinosaur porn. Go ahead, type it in." Well, I heard her gasp. This was insane. A book by Anie East Dean is invisible, but we can all find dinos raping helpless nubile women in some sort of crazy world where such things happen. She admitted that this was wrong. She told me about Amazon's catalog team, the shadowy entity that decides whether to make books unsearchable, that she would present the situation to them. They, she said, were the only ones who had the power to change restrictions. I asked if I could speak to them directly, and she replied, "Absolutely not. Very few have access to them, but I do, and I will speak on your behalf. Not only will I speak to them, I'll send you an email so you'll be able to contact me directly whenever you need to. If the catalog team agrees to lift the restrictions of your book, it should show up on our website in a couple days." I reluctantly accepted her offer. So Anie East's fate now rested in the hands of a mysterious group of people who no one but a precious few even knows exists. I waited a couple days. No email from Danny. No changes to the status of Oletris. No more help desks to visit. I shared my frustration on social media, and there was plenty of support from all sorts of people. Twitter, you let me down. I didn't get much Twitter love, but I certainly got a lot of support on Facebook. One of my Facebook friends, Janet Roston, bless her heart, recommended bringing the story to the press. I began to reach out to anyone and everyone, asking if they knew somebody in the media who'd be interested in this modern-day banishment of the world's preeminent erotica writer, Anie East Dean. Then Australian scholar Jessica Gilby, who has appeared on this show more than once, came through. Her contact at news.com.au wrote a story called "Amazon Slammed for Censoring Female Erotica Writer Anie East Dean." The next day, The Guardian posted a story titled, "Erotic Stories by Anie East Dean Consigned to Amazon's Adult Content Dungeon." This was the story that got heard around the world. Almost immediately, it spread on the internet. It was translated into several languages, and it still pops up even now. And that very same day, at about 8:30 on a Friday evening, Amazon sent me the following email. "Hello, we've reviewed your response concerning the following book, Oletris Erotica. After further review, we have decided to remove the search restriction so your book will now be found in our general product search results. This may take up to 24 hours to process. We appreciate your feedback and apologize for any inconvenience caused by this temporary restriction. Best regards, Amazon.com, where your feedback is helping us build Earth's most consumer-centric company." I searched for Oletris on Amazon, And for the first time in more than a week after publication, it finally showed up without me having to jump through hoops. They had given in. I can't know for sure why, but I have a feeling that I have the media and several frustrated customers to thank. So thank you. Anna Eastine had been freed from the dungeon. Obviously, I was delighted about Amazon's reversal, but there was one nagging thought that kept running through my head. What about Anna Eastine's cellmates? What happens to them? Who speaks for them? Who are they? What are their stories? It was a question I posed on social media, and here are some of the responses. Lana Fox, who has appeared on this podcast before, is the co-founder of Go Deeper Press, which publishes erotica with refreshingly few restrictions on content. She says not only has Go Deeper been forced to change content and cover images, but they also have to take extreme care in choosing keywords describing the work. And it's not just Amazon giving them trouble. Apple iBooks has actually banned some of Go Deeper's books because they contain the keyword transgender, which means they are essentially discriminating against an entire group of people. Erotica writer July Cumming says that the topic of censorship makes her blood boil. The main problem is that when she tries to find out what it is about some of her books that gets them placed in Amazon's dungeon, she gets no straight answers. Is it because an elbow was mistaken for a breast on the cover? Was it some unknown word in the blurb or title? She'd like to know, but she still doesn't, even after asking. The whole process of keeping a book out of the dungeon, she says, is one big guess, and she has wasted plenty of time and energy trying to guess right. Amazingly, when she questioned the guidelines, one of Amazon's responses was, and I quote, "What we deem offensive is probably about what you would expect." Terrence Alden Shaw, a prolific erotica writer, posted his travails with Amazon KDP on his blog, saying that two of his books were suddenly banned after having been listed with them without problems for more than 2 years. When he pressed Amazon for a reason, he was met with, "Please refer to our content guidelines," and, once again, "Our rules concerning erotic content are pretty much what you'd expect." He was told that if he didn't comply to these vague rules, his entire KDP account would be deleted. As a result, Shaw experienced anger, sadness, depression. And like many of us, a good chunk of his income comes from Amazon. So they have to be dealt with, and carefully. But how far can one go without compromising one's work and integrity? How does one pass the adult content test without castrating the work itself? How can one connect honestly with readers, with an axe hanging over one's head? These are the questions that only Amazon can answer. But I suspect they can't really, because they don't even seem to agree with each other at the company. Anna Eastine may have been one of the dungeon's most prestigious inmates, and I hope, in the end, this brings more awareness of 21st century book banning, a practice that has no place in American literature. We have already fought that battle. For more on this topic, and the people mentioned here, including the newspaper articles and Oletris itself, visit annaeastineblog.skybluepress.com. This podcast was brought to you by Oletris Erotica by Anna Eastine, now available on Amazon, iBooks, and BarnesandNoble.com. This has been the Anna Eastine Podcast. Thanks for listening. Until the next time.